This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport. You are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, but it is minus the bell.
And he's very, very much plus the cow.
As Martin Bell is jetted off to... Miami.
He's jetted.
He's all the way.
I wonder if you've been to Disney World. Is it Disneyland or World in Florida?
No idea.
In Miami.
No idea.
Disneyland,
but yeah. I tell what I am sure of. Well, the Cincinnati Masters has been on.
The Cincinnati Kid.
The Cincinnati Masters.
Good film.
It is indeed. And I'm very pleased to say that on the line we are joined by Charlie Eccleshare, the Telegraph tennis writer. A very good morning to you, Charlie.
Hello, how are you doing?
Oh, yes, hello. Very well, mate.
Do you know, Charlie, your name makes me hungry. I'll tell you why your name makes me hungry, because I think of a chocolate eclair. When I say your name, Charlie Eccleshare.
Interesting.
And I think of a chocolate eclair.
Yeah, I've had Eccles cake as well.
Eccles cake.
Food theme.
You've got a name that makes you hungry. That's a good thing, I can tell you.
Charlie, let's talk about the tennis. Andy Murray made his long-anticipated return to singles. Do you think it would have been a bigger event if he came back just to singles without the doubles success that he's had? But ultimately, he did lose in straight sets. But it was against Richard Gasquet. So did he do as well as we had expected?
Yeah, I think it was more or less how I thought it would play out. I didn't think he'd come back and get embarrassed, because I just didn't think he would. You know, he's quite a good judge, so I didn't think he'd have come back if he didn't think he was close to being ready. But I also didn't think anyone, even Andy Murray, could come back having played so little over the last year or so and turn it on straight away. And Gasquet, he's had injuries, but he's been in decent form. He beat Kei Nishikori last week, so... You know, he was the favourite, objectively, you know, taking away the patriotism and the sentiment. And yeah, he lost 6-4, 6-4. Absolutely no disgrace in that.
No.
But clearly has some way to go.
Yeah. He's decided against using his protected ranking to play at Flushing Meadows. I mean, is it the right decision to build up his singles game over three sets for now?
Yeah, I mean, to that point of... him knowing when he's ready and not, he just knew he wasn't going to be ready for best of five. So there wasn't a huge amount of point. It's slightly unfortunate in a way that the US Open comes now, because it slightly breaks up his momentum. If he had, you know, a few weeks of just tour events, he could sort of get his way back into it. As it is, he'll play here. He may even play, there's a small event next week. He may play that. Then he'll play doubles at the US. And then he'll look to build up his fitness over the course of the rest of the year ahead of the Australian Open, which now becomes the main goal. I think that'll be what all his practice and matches are geared towards.
So you say that, but why didn't he come back in Montreal? And is his main target the Australian Open, or is the Olympic Games a more realistic target for him?
Possibly. I mean, I think with Montreal, he just didn't feel ready. He's only really been playing proper single sets for 2 weeks. And so I think for him to go straight in there, he probably just didn't think, he'd stand much of a chance. Yeah, Olympic Games sort of longer term. But I think he's so ambitious that he will be thinking, you know, he's already signed up to a few events in China in September and October after the US Open. So I think he's, you know, already... just wanting him to get himself in good shape by the end of the year. And he always makes such big gains in the off season prior to the Australian Open. And I think there's no reason he can't think he can do that again. And then, the Olympics becomes a slightly more medium term aim. But I think he'll be thinking Australia's not totally out of the question.
Britain's number one, Kyle Edmund, he's going to play Medvedev today. Listen, the Russian dispatched him in straight sets last week. I mean, any reason to think the same thing won't happen again?
Well, I think the only thing, the only big change might be that Medvedev went on to reach the final there, and so could be, you know, showing some wear and tear. Obviously, the flip side of that is that he's in excellent form, so it could go either way. And Medvedev's quite a sprightly, fit young man, so it might not affect him as much as it would others. been a bit of a weird period for Edmund. You know, he'll have a good win and then he'll suffer a disappointing loss. And that was quite a humbling one last week. You know, a really, really comprehensive battering. He won three games, Edmund, lost 6-3, 6-love. So, I mean, he'll have revenge, as it were, on his mind. But yeah, Edmund Medvedev is a tricky customer for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to ask you about the mighty Roger Federer, the greatest player of all time. I love him. I think he's great. He's going to play his first match as a 38-year-old. Which is just insane.
It's insane.
Is it going to be a simple victory for him?
I would have thought so. I mean, he tends to cruise through these early rounds without much fuss. He should be pretty fresh as well. You know, he hasn't played since Wimbledon. Mm. I'd be very surprised if he was anything other than immaculate, as he tends to be. Just a funny thing as well on Federer's longevity. I was talking to someone recently, and he was saying he interviewed Federer in 2007. And he was saying to him, Roger, do you think you might still be playing at the time of the London 2012 Olympics? You know, is that a realistic aim for you? And it was a talking point.
Federer's
going to be, I think, 30 or something then. So it was like, you know, a lot of players retire by then. And, you know, Federer said he thought he would. And it's crazy to think that now we're talking about him. He's going to play Tokyo next year. So, I mean, he continues to surprise.
Do you think he's desperate for that gold medal? Because he's got everything, but he doesn't have a gold medal.
Yeah, well, he's got a gold doubles medal. He doesn't have the gold singles. That is the one thing missing from his mantelpiece. Yeah, I think he... I don't think it keeps him awake at night, but I think it's...
Well, Andy Murray's got it over him there,
twice.
Isn't he? Twice, yeah. Yeah.
Murray's got two singles gold.
Wow.
So I don't think Federer's... too preoccupied by it, but as worries go for someone who I imagine doesn't have too many of them, then yes, that is something he would like to add to. And you know, with it being only a year away, it's tantalizingly within reach.
Absolutely, it is, yeah. Listen, the match that everybody's really waiting to see, isn't it? It's Djokovic versus Kyrgios. I mean, Kyrgios has a 2-0 record against Novak. I mean, would it happen? Can he beat the world number one again?
Yeah, I mean, a slight caveat on that is those wins did come when Djokovic was a little bit out of sorts. Not that that stops Kyrgios mentioning it at every opportunity, which is great. We love that. We love that needle. I would expect Djokovic would win just because of the kind of shape he's in now. You know, his focus is a lot better. But Kyrgios will go out there fully believing he can win. And that's such a powerful thing because... So many of Djokovic, Federer and Nadal's opponents basically go out there, you know, the equivalent of going to Man City and, you know, almost like, well, we'll take a 3-0 defeat here, boys. So I think just having someone like Kyrgios who has that belief gives him a chance. But I would expect Djokovic would probably, were it to happen, which we hope it will, just have a bit too much.
Yeah, yeah. Let's have a look at the women's draw. We've got Konta. She's another first-round tournament exit. She's just so inconsistent, isn't she? This isn't typically a great time of year for her, but can she still put a decent showing at the US Open, do you think?
Yeah, she has been disappointing. I mean, she's lost three matches in a row now. It's tough to know with her because she does... need rhythm and she needs matches, so I don't know, it's possible she could go into the US Open and just out of nowhere surprise us, but generally when she's done well at the majors, she's had some form going into them. You know, you think of the French Open this year, she'd done well in the warm-up events. Wimbledon, she had some, you know, she had some wins on the grass already, so it's a difficult one. She is struggling a bit at the moment, and she is up and down. I think we almost need to make peace with that she isn't going to be as consistent, you know, as someone like Andy Murray, who it was just a given he would be getting to the semis and finals of pretty much every tournament. I will say as well, in Konta's defence, this isn't unique to her. A lot of players on the WTA Tour do struggle with consistency, and you do see some quite volatile results. But from British perspective, it's a shame that she hasn't really continued that momentum on from the French Open and Wimbledon.
Let's go to Bianca Andreescu, has withdrawn this week after winning in Toronto. I mean, is that the right decision ahead of a slam, given she's missed lots of the season through injury? I mean, how good was she last week?
Oh, she's fantastic. I mean, she is the real deal. And she's missed a lot of the year with the shoulder injury. We're not for that. I mean, it's scary to think how good she could be. I think she's played top 10 players 7 times. She's won all 7 of those matches, which is just extraordinary. She has so much belief. You know, she goes out on the court, doesn't matter who she's playing, she's going to win that match. But she looks a Grand Slam champion in waiting. And I know we've said that before about a few players, but yeah. She has such confidence and such focus. She upsets a few players she plays. She's quite abrasive in her manner on court. She doesn't care. You know, she has so much self-belief. And I think the problem is the way the tour works, going straight from Rogers Cup, which she won, straight into Cincinnati, so close before the US Open, you see a lot of these withdrawals, because if you go deep in Rogers Cup, to then go straight onto another Masters event is a big ask, especially with the Grand Slam so close on the horizon. And for her especially, having had these injuries, I think she just wants to, you know, not take any risks.
Look, Ashleigh Barty is against Maria Sharapova. That's looking like a great match coming up in the next round. Barty may be looking like she's coming back into form after having a bit of a dip. She was, in my opinion, she was doing a bit of an Osaka there. Mm. And Sharapova was impressive in dispatching Alison Risk. What are your thoughts in this?
Yeah, there has been a bit of a history recently with one number ones on the WTA Tour once they get there, suffering a bit. And as you mentioned, yeah, Osaka had that. I don't know. I mean, I think Barty, she had such an amazing period, you know, winning the French, becoming world number one. I think a little bit of a dip is almost inevitable, because it's quite an overwhelming experience. I think she's level-headed enough that she'll get it back. Today could be tricky. Sharapova could be tricky, though. I mean, again, there's so much uncertainty with her, because she's played so little tennis. And just based on that, I would probably give Barty the edge, because physically she's so strong. But it should be a very interesting match. A bit of a kind of, past and present. And Sharapova would love to stamp her authority back on the tour. And that would be a big, big win for her.
Yeah. Well, listen, finally, Charlie, who are you looking forward for the US Open? I mean, Naomi Osaka has improved into a nine-year slump. And Serena, she looks in great shape, doesn't she? I mean, before her injury last week.
Yeah, I mean, I guess almost by default, Serena goes into it as the favourite, just because... You know, we know when it comes to the Grand Slam, she can lift it. It's just getting over the line. You know, she keeps reaching the final and then not having quite enough.
She looked in such good shape, didn't she? It's a shame about the injury.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think Andreescu, if she's fit, which is a big if, because she's missed so much of the year, does have a really good chance. Be interesting to see Simona Halep as well. You know, fresh from winning Wimbledon, which no one saw coming. Can she back that up? I probably think no, just because it's rare players win back-to-back majors on the women's side. But Osaka, obviously, being a rare exception earlier this year. But, yeah, that will be interesting. Andreescu-Williams final, which we were kind of robbed of in Toronto, that would be amazing. You know, again, that battle of the generations. I think, any neutral would bite your hand off of that now.
Charlie, thank you very, very much indeed for coming on to the Bell and Sperling Show. That's Charlie Eccleshare there, the Telegraph tennis writer.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
A very good morning. I nearly said afternoon. Did you see that?
You nearly did it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
that's
the first time you've ever slipped.
First time of what?
You ever slipped up?
Well, I've slipped up a lot.
slipped up on that particular thing.
I did. A very good morning to you. You're listening to the Bell and Sperling Show. Minus the bell.
Very much, Mr. Gal.
I'm very pleased to say that on the line we are joined by Chris Medland from Racer Mag. A very good morning to you, Chris.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good morning, Chris. Very well, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
That's good. That's good.
Excellent stuff. Now, Red Bull will replace their French driver Pierre Gasly with Alexander Albon for the rest of the season. Why have Red Bull made this decision?
Main reason being that Pierre Gasly has not been delivering the results, really. You've got a car that's capable of winning races, and in the hands of Max Verstappen has been winning races. Max has won 2 of the last 4, took pole in Hungary in the last race, and finished 2nd there, and set the fastest lap. So he's really getting the most out of that car, whereas Gasly has yet to finish on the podium this season. So in terms of the points difference, it's huge between the two drivers. I mean, Gasly's got about a third of the points that Verstappen has got, and Red Bull want a driver who is basically closer to Verstappen and scoring more points so they can catch Ferrari in the Constructors' Championship. And that's why they've demoted Gasly, but then they've turned to a rookie in Alexander Albon to fill that gap.
But it is a bit of an odd timing, though. It's mid-season. I understand that they want the results, but is it a little bit too far too gone by now?
Personally, I'd say yes. I mean, I think you've got... This is Pierre Gasly's first season at Red Bull in a front-running team. It's only his second full season in Formula One total, so he's still learning the ropes and gaining experience. Mm. And when you look at the options to replace him, they've gone for Albon, and he's a rookie. It's his first season in Formula One. So you're asking a heck of a lot of Albon to perform and to better what Gasly was doing. And I think it's a bit too soon. There's only 9 races left this season. We have passed the halfway point. They've taken the call now because we're in the mid-season break and there's a bit more time maybe to integrate a new driver in. But I think realistically you should have given Gasly until the end of the season, because by then you definitely know whether he was worth giving another shot next year or if you discard him completely.
Yeah, listen, why have Red Bull struggled to find a permanent partner for Max Verstappen?
I think it's partly just because of how good Max is. I mean, they were desperate to get Max into a car, promoted him in 2016 in a similar sort of situation to what we've got now. They demoted Danny Kvyat after 4 races back to Toro Rosso and promoted Verstappen into the Red Bull, and Verstappen won his first race for the team. So they were vindicated with that move, but that's because Verstappen is a special, special talent. And I think Red Bull are a bit confused over what they want from their teammate Verstappen. They had Daniel Ricciardo. They didn't seem to be able to give him the assurances he wanted that it was going to be a level playing field, and they lost out on him. But then when they've looked at other drivers, someone like Gasly isn't getting that close to Verstappen, and okay, he's underperforming, but he's also not going to rock the boat, and he's going to be almost like a number two to Verstappen in a similar way that Valtteri Bottas is to Lewis Hamilton. So all Gasly needed to really was get closer rather than be really matching Verstappen. And it just depends what Red Bull wants out of that. If they're expecting Albon to go and challenge Verstappen, then I don't think that's likely to happen straight away. And I think that could cause more trouble than it's worth. I think really what they want is a driver who's close to him, but not really rattling his cage too much.
So, Chris, what's happening with Gasly then? What's he doing now then after he's been replaced? So where's he going?
So Gasly goes back to Toro Rosso, the team he drove for last year. So Red Bull are in a very unique position that they own 2 teams and they're branded basically the same. So Toro Rosso means Red Bull in Italian. And that's the junior team, as they call it, even though now the junior team have a more experienced lineup than the senior team. But Gasly's gone back to Toro Rosso. It's a straight swap with Albon. So Albon gets promoted from Toro Rosso to Red Bull. Gasly will now partner Danny Kvyat, who used to race for Red Bull and then got demoted to Toro Rosso in 2016. Then he got dropped completely from the whole program. Then he got picked up again by Red Bull. So there's been a lot of musical chairs. And now you've got basically 2 drivers who've been dropped from the big team racing together for the junior team. But it gives him a chance, at least in these final 9 races, to try and prove them wrong. But as you said, you know, mid-season is very difficult to sort of pull out those performances with a new car at this point.
Could this be disastrous for him then, going down? Because if he's going to be essentially dropping straight down, they're saying, well, you're not good enough to be in the top team here for Red Bull. What's that going to do for him and his career? And also mentally, do you think?
Exactly. It's so tough because for a driver, like you say, you're being told you're not good enough, or at least not doing a good enough job. And now you're being told, go and get used to a new environment again. Okay, he's raced for Toro Rosso in the past, but this year it's a new car and he's got to get used to the team again. And they're saying, right, go and prove us wrong, go and perform there. But it's going to take him time to settle in. So that's not going to help his confidence either. And unless he can pull out some remarkable results, it basically is a vote of no confidence that says, we don't think you could do it at this top level. Mm. And that's what Red Bull are essentially looking for. So it's very hard to come back from. The only person we've seen come back as such is Danny Kvyat, who's racing for Toro Rosso again this year. And he's kind of got a second chance with that team. But it seems unlikely that Red Bull would ever promote Kvyat back to the big team because they dropped him once as well. And they obviously didn't pick him at this stage. They went for Albon. So it's all a bit confusing for Gasly to know if he's really got a future with the team now. But he does at least have 9 races, still in Formula One. And if he doesn't convince Red Bull that he's good enough, maybe he could pull out a performance or two that convinces another team that he's worth a shot next year.
Mm. I mean, do you think Red Bull need to review their selection policy?
A little. It's difficult to be too harsh because, of course, they are funding these drivers' careers. They've got 2 teams, 4 seats across those 2 teams, so they can put the drivers wherever they want across those teams. And, you know, technically, if they wanted to, they could put Max Verstappen back there, Toro Rosso, but they never do that. But it's, I just think it's been a bit unfair, not only on Gasly, but also on Albon, because he's, in his rookie year, he's developing, but he's not being allowed to develop at his own rate. He's being told now, be ready sooner, because Gasly's underperforming. So they're suddenly saying, come and show us what you can do in a Red Bull, because Gasly wasn't able to do it. But for Albon's own personal progression, it might have been better for him to have had, or I think it certainly would have been better for him to have had a full season in Toro Rosso, to be able to make his mistakes away from the limelight. I mean, he made a mistake at the last race in Hungary. He crashed in second practice and heavily damaged the car. He is a rookie. So I think Red Bull's impatience with one driver can knock onto others. And I think it's, there's a lot of very talented young drivers that maybe don't get the time to develop that they should, all because Red Bull are looking for someone like Max Verstappen, who is so special, to go into that team. But they've got him there, so I feel like they could have some more patience with the drivers next to him. And I hope this move doesn't burn out Albon.
Well, with that in mind, why doesn't Kvyat come back? He's in better form than Albon, isn't he? So why not bring him back?
He is, yeah. Kvyat's got more points than Albon, and mainly through a podium in Germany that was a big surprise. But to be fair, in that race, Albon was actually having the better race, and Kvyat got lucky with a strategic call that promoted him ahead of him. And most people at the end of that who were sort of close to the team could see and were talking to Toro Rosso, and they were really impressed with what Albon did, because it was actually the first time he'd driven a Formula 1 car in the wet ever. He's so inexperienced and not had a lot of testing in an F1 car, and got dropped in to Toro Rosso last minute. Towards the end of last season, that he's still learning in all these different scenarios. And yeah, he's never driven a car in the wet and finished sixth. But for Kvyat, Red Bull knew a fair bit about him already, because they've run him as a race driver a few years ago. I think they felt that they knew enough about Kvyat that they needed to learn more about Albon. But I'm sort of with you. I'm like, I'd have given Kvyat his proper second shot for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
If he proves good enough, then great. You found that he can bounce back. If he doesn't, okay, you gave him a second chance, but you also then give Albon another half year to develop.
Listen, what will Red Bull do if Verstappen is tempted away by Mercedes?
I think right now they would look to pick up another big name driver. I think they'd actually look outside their own programme for once, but I also don't think they're going to lose Verstappen.
Yeah.
Famous last words, because only on Saturday I was saying they weren't going to replace Gasly. The way that Verstappen has been performing, the fact he's got himself up to third in the Drivers' Championship, got a couple of wins, I think Verstappen is confident that Red Bull's going in the right direction, especially with Honda this year. And Mercedes, I think, are going to stick with the current lineup they've got, at least for one more year. So I think next year Red Bull are going to be okay. Beyond that, I think there is a chance that if there's no progress next season, that Verstappen would look to leave at the end of 2020. And that's when Red Bull really could do with a few more options, and they don't really have them at the moment. There's not many young drivers knocking on the door below the four that we're talking about that are already in F1. So that's one of the reasons Kvyat's come back. It's one of the reasons Albon was brought back, because they actually dropped him from their junior program in 2012 and then brought him back at the end of last year to have another look. So I think they'd be stuck for promoting one of their own juniors at the end of next season. We'd probably have to look outside that and see who they could attract. Maybe they'd even look to see if Daniel Ricciardo wants to come back. He's not too happy at Renault, because that's not gone too well for him so far.
Chris, you mentioned about Mercedes wanting to keep the same team for another year at least, but we've got word that Bottas might be leaving. Is that going to happen? And with what you said in mind, it's going to be Bottas being fed up with Mercedes and wanting to move on, is it not?
Well, no, I think it's more that Mercedes have got Esteban Ocon as their reserve driver, and he's very talented, but without a seat at the moment. And Mercedes see him as a future Mercedes driver, but he's also maybe a little bit harder to work with than Bottas when they look at how Ocon got on with his teammate Sergio Perez at Force India a couple of seasons ago. So they're a bit worried that putting Ocon in alongside Lewis Hamilton might destabilise Hamilton slightly. And as it stands, I mean, Hamilton and Bottas are 1-2 in the Drivers' Championship. The team's comfortably clear in the Constructors' Championship. Why break the winning formula? I think, as uninspiring as it might seem, they'll probably give Bottas one extra year and see if he can just, in a sense, keep up what he's doing. He has won two races this year. He's normally on the podium. Hamilton's looking like he's going to clinch another Drivers' Championship. It's doing everything it needs to do for Mercedes, even if it's not always spectacular. So I reckon that Bottas will probably get the chance to stay. And for him, he's going to want to stay there because it's the best car. And even if he's having another tricky year or a couple of tricky races, he'll think, if I can improve that a little bit more, I've got a chance of winning a Drivers' Championship here. But then he knows it's down to him if he gets that shot. So I don't see him walking away. It would just be if Mercedes opted for Ocon. But I think they'll wait another year or two before doing that to make sure that they're that they've got the most out of this current partnership and a couple more championships.
Well, there we are. Chris, thank you very much indeed. For your expertise there. Chris Medlin from Racer Mag.
Spot on.
You like a bit of Formula One, do you?
I do, yeah. I like to do impressions.
It's got a bit
though.
Boring, isn't it? No. Everyone says it's got a bit boring.
No. The lights are green and go, Schumacher.
But he's not there. He's not there
Prince
anymore.
Prince Charles. Graham Norton.
Bell does a very good... I can't do it. I think we've got it here, haven't we, producer Laurie?
Have we?
We did have it.
He had a bit of a panicked look on his face.
We did have it as a soundbite at one point.
Really?
Yeah. When we used to have. Now we're going to have a bit of this, and it would be Bell's. Like, I can't do it.
This is Love Sport.
It's not that one. it's Love Sport. That's me. I could have done that live for you.
After we go into a break.
Well, you are listening to the Bell and Sperling show.
Yeah.
Can you not do that?
No.
I can do a few sound effects.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it my best. Sometimes it just looks like me slapping my face. But yes. Here we go. Let's try this.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I like those.
There's a leaky tap. I'll try
it
again.
Did you get it?
Ready? I'll try it again. There we go.
See, if we had a bit of reverb, it'd sound great.
It's just me flicking my face, that listener.
It's very good. I can't...
You're just hitting your face, Johnny Sperling. That's what
you're
doing.
I'm flicking my face.
I can make a good light bubble. Little bubble pop. Here we go. This is me popping a bubble.
Yeah.
There we go. It's very good, isn't it? It's nice.
It's very good. I can't do anything about that.
I can do a car boot. Ready?
Yeah.
And I need to shut it again. So
yeah,
I need to shut it. Here we go.
Yeah. I used to do that brilliantly. Al Murray.
Al Murray used to do that very well. Yeah, yeah.
I could do a little bit of a beat, you know.
Can you?
Some people learn to rap, and I think that's wrong. You gotta make your rap up as you go along.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Do you know, I had one of those sneezes that I thought, during that, I thought I was going to have to sneeze,
yeah,
and it's gone again, but I can still feel it.
You know it's there.
I still know it's
going to come out.
Did you know what?
Best to look at the light. Did you look at the light?
Look at the light?
Yeah.
Don't go to the light. No, it's just going to be bad eyes now.
Light, yeah.
I can't. I don't need the sneeze now. It's gone, which is pretty bad, actually, because I like a sneeze.
I love a sneeze.
Do you like watching Would I Lie to You? With Rob Brydon. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you, Ness.
That's great, isn't it?
There's no conversation of words I can put on the back of a postcard.
Were you a big fan of Kevin this day?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I love Bryn. I think he's very, very funny. But there is a Christmas special. There's a Christmas special coming
up. What do we think about that?
Well, I think it's going to be great. I don't particularly care for James Corden, but I like the rest of the cast, so I'm happy to forgive him for that.
I'm not a fan of James Corden, obviously, but I think he's, you know, he wrote a great sitcom there.
Mm, absolutely.
A fantastic sitcom. And, of course, A League of Their Own.
League of Their Own, yes. Mm-hmm. However, talking of... the reason why I brought up Rob Brydon and Would I Lie to You is because I had a sneeze coming. And Bob Mortimer was talking about sneezes. Bob Mortimer, very funny man. Very, very funny man. And every time he sneezes, he goes, "Hachoo, pussycat." Whoa, 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 whoa. Hachoo, pussycat.
Yes.
We've had another text in.
Really?
Had another text in, yes, from Lukey Boy. Lukey Boy here.
Who? Lukey Boy?
Lukey Boy. All right, boys, it's Lukey Boy
Hello,
here.
Hello, Lukey Boy.
How about the professionals?
We had that earlier.
Thank you, Lukey
Boy. Thanks, Luke. We did play that one earlier.
There you go. There's Lukey Boy there.
There's Lukey Boy.
Lukey Boy. There, the professionals. We did play the professionals earlier. Thank you very much.
What was that, producer Laurie?
I don't know what he said. There's something about thank you very much indeed, Lukey Boy. If you want to do as what Luke is, the Lukey Boy, is it? Can I call him Luke? I'm going to anyway.
Well, I want to call him Lukey Boy. If he was Lukey Boy, he gets Lukey Boy.
Okay. Well, Lukey Boy, Dave, Gary, Andy. All these people have messaged in about their favourite themes. Thank you. If you want to do that, you can do the same by calling this number.
Yes.
Right.
Here.
That is the number you can call us on or WhatsApp us on. What was that number again, producer Laurie?
What is it, producer Laurie?
0208 720 558.
That is telephone.
02-08-20-558.
That is the number.
Oh, 02-08-70-20-558.
That is the number you can telephone us or WhatsApp us on. We're asking you your favourite TV theme. I quite like The Apprentice. You know the...
Yeah, it's not bad. It's nowhere near those. But that's an old.
Oh, it is very old.
Very old.
However, producer Laurie is completely correct. They do play at Sunderland as well.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. like they're... And they're, what is quite ironic, because they are just apprentices in the football world. So, whereas the American apprentice with American. Donald Trump is much better. He used to have money.
For the love of money. That's great. Great
that's,
song.
That's the one he used to have.
The old bass, bass line at the beginning with the flanger on it. And the wah-wah. But we loved it.
Nothing.
What, the flanger?
Yeah.
It's a flanger.
Yeah, I know. It's just a funny name, isn't it? It's, I'll tell you what else has got a funny name.
Go on.
This extinct Devonshire volcano. It's called Posbury Chump. Posbury Chump is on sale.
Posbury Chump.
It's a 250 million year old Posbury Chump. But you can buy it for 50 grand. You can have your own Posbury Chump for 50 grand.
Just killing you in it. Oh, Posbury Chump.
Do we know anymore? Saying the name.
You've got... I'll tell you what, you've gone completely wrong there.
Stop saying the name of it.
What, Posbury Chump?
Stop it.
It's on set. The volcano is said to be extinct. Offers 500 feet views of the surrounding countryside.
Why do you need to... For, was it 500 feet? And, oh, look, there's another field. Great. That's all you need. You don't need that.
So it extinct volcano.
How tall's the shard?
Pardon?
How tall's the shard?
I don't know.
Do you know what? I'm going to look it up.
I'm going to have a look it up.
Let's have a look.
Why you've got a computer there, you see.
I know.
You can look everything up, can't you? It's fantastic, that.
Let's have a look. So isn't that's it? 500.
I wonder what they did years ago before the internet was... What do you know?
It just says 306 metres, 310 to the tip. that's what it is. I want it in feet. 306 metres.
Oh, dear. Hey, Patrick, what's your... Patrick, come here.
He's trying to get Patrick Christie's
Patrick
in.
Christie's.
Patrick Christie's from Patch, The Breakfast
what's
Show.
What's your favourite sit-down song?
Sit-down, Patrick.
Sit-down. We're having a great show today.
Oh, really chaps, how are we doing?
It's funny, yeah.
Very well.
Right, go on.
What is your favourite TV theme?
What's in theme music?
Yeah, favourite TV
theme music.
Here we go. I'll give you some examples, right? Looky Boy
I used to quite like Neighbours.
Neighbours. Yeah, but hang on a sec. Not the crumped up new version, the rubbish.
Oh, no.
You mean the one with...
To be honest, mate, I haven't listened to it since... I haven't watched it since Toadie went all well.
Toadie. Do you know what? Do you know it started in...
When Toadie chained himself to that airport railing and just decided that he was gonna make a point about emissions into the ozone, I thought, you know what, that's enough for me.
The original Neighbours theme was... There we go.
This one. There we go. Oh, lovely.
There you go, you got your friends.
There we go. Oh, here he is. Yeah!
Oh, this is the full single version.
Yeah.
Everybody needs good neighbours.
Tell you what was a good one.
Go on.
Bananas in Pyjamas.
That was a great one. But I'll tell you what was better than Bananas in Pyjamas. The Poddington Peas.
Oh, yeah. Down at the bottom of the garden. I don't know. These are new ones for me.
Oh, well, you know.
I'm going back. Me and Gary. Me, Gary and Dave, we've gone back.
I'll tell you what, I like one. And I think it was a particular anthem at a World Cup.
And Alan.
I can't remember what it was now, but it was...
And Adam, sorry.
What was it now? What was it? Who was in charge? Was it Sven... Sven... Sven, I think it was.
What was that one?
Sven... That was a good
Sven,
one.
That
was a good one.
Sven, Goran Eriksson.
Yeah!
he's a lovely geezer, but don't forget that he's from Sweden.
Yes. Oh, that was the best one. That was the best anthem I've heard.
Whatever happened to them?
Whatever happened to them? Anyways, you just never hear of them again.
Well, one of them's in Miami. That's where I'm shooting.
That's very true. Very, very
one
true.
One of them's in Miami. What was this one you were just talking about, that last
Boddington
thing?
Boddington
Peas. Hang on a second, Patrick, why do you look so well, by the way?
Why do I look so well? Well, yeah. I've taken
Why do you look so unwell,
I can tell you that. I can tell you that, but off
you're late. Not this time in the
off
morning.
Off air. why are you looking tanned?
So basically, what I'm doing is, you know, a little bit like when you hire a cleaner and you clean up around the house before the cleaner comes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to on a holiday. So I have to be tanned before I get there.
Oh, I see.
Otherwise, I look like a kind of strawberry blancmange by the time it's midday.
Is that spray tan or was it proper?
No. Go for the real deal, mate. Line of sunbed. And that's it.
Dean Martin, when he was filming, he used to stick his head out the window at all times with you know, those foil things that they put out around their face, like movie stars. He used to stick his head out the window, even for like 30 seconds, 10 seconds. And they go, Dean, why are you doing that? And he pulled his head out the window and go, do you know what Cary Grant looks like without a tan? An old man. And he'd stick his head back out the window.
Cary Grant did have one of the best tans.
Ooh,
that was a deep tan, Cary Grant.
So I'm going for another 10 minutes.
Oh.
I'm going to go for another 10 minutes today. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I've got to tell you, it's working.
Well, thank you, mate.
You do look great, mate.
Really? I tell you what, this is the most compliments I think I've ever had. And none of them seem particularly backhanded either. I'm waiting for the one that comes through and go, you look great, considering you're normally. But no, we've not had any of that yet.
Honestly, you do look. When are you going on holiday, by the way?
Going away on Friday. So I'm off for 2 weeks from Friday.
Exactly. Oh, really?
Exactly. Yeah, well, the only issue is that so we're going to Croatia. I'm going with the missus. But we are going to a place called Split, and to be honest, we have been on the brink for a while. So I think actually, maybe I'll just do a 10-dayer.
Very fun.
Oh, Patrick. So hang on a second. Who's taking your place with Rich Lee?
We're not sure yet.
We don't know yet.
No.
Who knows?
I'll tell you something. Nobody takes your place.
I have floated the idea of just drawing my face onto a balloon and just having it hang there. Hang there like a stale fart.
So is Rich Lee one of these, like a dinosaur?
Yeah.
He doesn't know you're there unless you move.
That's it. Like... 100%. To be honest with you, mate, that's what it feels like a lot of the time. So that's my life, actually. That's what I do for a living now. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we are asking you listener, what is your favourite TV theme? I don't know how we got onto this, but we are asking you what your favourite TV theme is. Alan said Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch.
He always used to hear Tales of the Unexpected theme when he was going to bed. John said?
No, that was Gary.
Gary said
Shelley.
Tell you what's an absolute banger.
Go on.
Casualty.
I can do an impression.
Belter. Go on.
I can do an impression of the Casualty theme song. Here we go.
Ready?
You're listening to the Bell and Spoon Show minus the bell.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Eagle Company. Now, Pete. O-S-H, posh. What a great...
Chitty bang bang.
Oh, you pretty chitty bang bang. Pretty chitty bang bang, we love you. And in pretty chitty bang bang, pretty chitty bang bang, what we'll do near, far, in a motor car, or whatever time we'll spend. A bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, a five-four-fended friend. A bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, a five-four-fended friend. Chitty chitty bang bang, five-four-fended, chitty chitty friend.
Posh boys here!
No, I should be applauding you.
Can't hear you.
I should be applauding you. That was actually quite something.
Thank you, mate.
My favourite song in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yes.
You're my little chuchy face. My uchi kuchi uchi 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 face.
And you're my teddy bear. That one. We have been asking you, what is your favourite TV theme?
Yeah.
What is your favourite TV theme? You can call us on
0208 70 20 558.
You can WhatsApp us on that number, as many people have done before. Posh Boy, what is your favourite TV theme?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer's theme.
How does that go?
I can't do it for you.
What a Posh Boy thing to say. What a posh boy cliche what? Thing to say.
How is that a cliche?
Buffet the vampire.
Buffet? What did I say? You said buffet.
Did I say
buffet?
Is
it all you can eat?
I'm so hungry. I'm talking about buffets. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Do you know, I never watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Never saw it.
It was on after. No, it was on just before WWE SmackDown on Sky
Nickelodeon?
One when I was a kid.
Was it Nickelodeon one?
No.
It's on Sky One.
Or was it just Sweden? One.
Anyway, producer Laurie's giving me the death stare that means, come on, what is it time for, Johnny?
It's now time for Games with Laurie.
Games with Laurie. What's the game,
what we got, Laurie?
Producer Laurie?
What we got?
Hi there. The game today is...
Ooh.
Well, you were talking before about Cockney rhyming slang.
Yes.
Specifically to do with money.
Yes.
I've gone a bit broader. We're going Cockney rhyming slang in general.
Yes.
And I'm asking you... what's real and what's not.
That's brilliant.
Ah, nice. Love this. Here we go.
That's fantastic.
Okay.
I'll keep score.
So we're going to go first with Johnny Sperling.
Okay.
Here's one. Yep. Now, I do think you have a bit of an advantage being from Randir.
I'm not from Randir. I'm from down there. You're from up there.
Down the road.
I'm down there, mate. Go on, carry on.
So your first one is...
Yes.
Hamster wheel. Oh. Gave it the old hamster wheel. And that means steal, like hamster wheel, steal.
Mm.
Or as we'd say, steal.
Hamster
steal.
Well, yeah, you would say steal. I'd say still.
Hamster wheel. Give it the old
hamster
wheel.
Hamster wheel.
Where'd you get it from?
Oh, nah, I don't think it's real.
No, I wouldn't, because I would say
that's
it's tea leaf, isn't it?
Definitely not real.
Tea leaf thief.
I'd say you made that up.
Yeah, I did make that up.
The old hamster wheel. It's an old hamster wheel.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Next one.
Go on. Here we go.
The nation's favourite.
Carl Halbert.
Yes.
Your question is...
Okay.
Steak and ale.
Steak and ale.
Which means a lie. Why is it a lie? Like to tell a tale. Steak and ale. Oh, I told him a steak and ale.
That's a steak.
Steak. Could it be steak and ale telling a tale? Steak and ale pie telling a lie.
Steak and ale pie. Oh,
it's multifaceted.
It is. Oh, it's layered. Much like that pie. I'm going to go true.
I made that one up.
Oh! He got
it's good.
That was good.
That's good. Did you know that, Johnny?
No, I didn't.
No.
But it's good. It's a steak and ale pie telling a lie.
I think there is another one that's steak and liver, perhaps, that might be real. I'm not sure.
Makes you quiver.
Don't know what it means. Okay.
Come on, posh boy.
Posh boy.
Come on.
It's not my area of expertise, I'll be honest.
Clearly good. Neither of ours, either.
Come on.
Okay. Pineapple, which means... chapel, as in you're going down to church.
You've made that
going
up.
Down a pineapple.
100% you've made that up.
I haven't. It's real.
It's real.
Oh, it's real.
Go down a pineapple.
Go into the pineapple.
I don't think you've got pineapples in East London.
What are you talking about, you suppy posh boy?
Even we've got pineapples in the northeast, don't we, Laurie?
We have, yeah. Pineapples
at least
here.
Two.
Hit me.
Right. Oh, see, I'm now thinking that if you knew that, there's some of these that you're going to know. Right, how about Bifola Bear? That's your hair.
Bifola? Well, I know that hair's normally your
barnet.
Your barnet.
Remember, there can be a couple for each.
A couple for each. Bifola Bear. I'm going real.
It is real.
Oh,
it's just
nil.
Instinct this now, isn't it?
That was instinct, I must say, but...
1-0, the Sperling.
No, it's 2-0, that's 2-0.
Is it?
Did you get one wrong?
Johnny got two right, and
two right.
You guys got them wrong.
All right, you're not doing very good. You're playing
catch up. Cal Halbert,
yes.
Poppy, which means bread, which rhymes. So it's poppy red, essentially bread.
Poppy red,
loaf of poppy,
loaf of poppy,
loaf of poppy,
loaf of poppy. You can get a poppy loaf as well.
Poppy seed,
poppy seed loaf.
Yeah, and you get done
for a markup, mind you.
If you eat a poppy seed,
sesame seed,
and poppy seeds, isn't it?
I don't know. Yes, it will be.
You get.
I'm going to say true.
That one is true.
Yes, get in.
Pressure's on, posh boy.
Pressure's on, posh boy. Now,
here we go.
All right. Three Musketeers in a sentence. Going for three Musketeers.
A
few beers, yeah. Three Musketeers.
That would assume that people like Johnny Sperling have read literature.
Remember, there are quite a few Dickensian type ones because, you know, you're talking.
Yeah, but Three Musketeers is a bit more niche than that. I'm saying made up.
You're right, it is made up.
Three Musketeers? I don't think that's niche. Three Musketeers?
It's more niche than Dickens, mate.
I love Dickens. My favourite Dickens. But he's my favourite author. Bowles.
Yeah, he's spread.
Bowles.
The game's back close. Oh, okay.
Gosh, boy got one as well.
Johnny Sperling.
Yes. So it's 2-1-1, is it?
Yep.
Now, this one is quite... It takes a while to explain it.
Okay.
But you say, if you're having a soup or, I don't know, like... your jelly deals or whatever.
Yes.
Are they hot normally, jelly deals? I don't know how you eat them.
Cold, jelly deals are cold, yeah.
Okay, well, something that's hot that you would eat. You'd say, oh, it's a bit spooky once it's getting cold. It's a bit spooky. And spooky rhymes with Lukey, i.e. Gospel of Luke, lukewarm.
Ooh. Like Lukey boy who texted us earlier.
That Lukey boy. Listen, I mean, if you've made that up, then that's brilliant. I'm going to say real.
It's fake.
Oh! That's very, very good, that look.
We've got a chance to equalise.
Might start that one. A bit spooky, though.
That's going a bit spooky.
It's good, that. It's good.
Yeah. A natural.
Clever ladies.
Okay.
Clever ladies.
Here we go. Carl Halbert.
Yes.
A philharmonic.
Philharmonic.
Like the orchestra.
Yep.
A philharmonic.
Elvis did a famous
for
album.
A specific drink known as a gin and tonic. A philharmonic.
True.
Yes.
Oh, yes!
Do you know what? It's just say 50-50, just guess
really?
Straight away. Yeah. Go with your gut.
Kind of ruins the game, but
it sounds
that's fine.
Good. Anyway, 2-2-1. Closest.
Johnny Burrow.
got to get this.
Johnny Burrow. Dum, dum. If you're talking about... Dum, dum. A lady who you find attractive.
I would never do that.
You'd say a city girl instead of a pretty. Country girl. City girl, pretty girl.
Oh.
And by extension, if you're from the countryside.
False.
That is false. Well done.
Yes. Yes. 2-2-2.
Burley, you blown this lead. 2-0.
Blown it.
And you messed it up.
2-0. And you messed it up.
Okay. If you fall down and you cut your knee.
Yep.
And you look down.
Yeah.
Nightmare. Bit Red Riding Hood, that, innit? Blood, Red Riding Hood. Is it real or fake?
Fake.
It is fake. That was pretty good. As I was saying that one, I was thinking that sounds really bad.
Red Riding Hood, that.
I think I could have contextualised it more convincingly. All right.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
You associate New York with playing the crap games and all that kind of thing where you're doing a bit of gambling.
very good.
But it's not something you necessarily associate as much with London.
Mm.
So do they have four dice, little white mice? Give them a roll. Give them a scuttle. little white mice.
Little white mice. Do you know?
Give them a scuttle.
Oh, little white mice. I've heard this before, little white mice. I don't think it's dice, though. Or it could have been, because I went to see Guys and Dolls. That's New York, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's New York.
New York. Little white mice. I'm going to say false.
Look, be a lady tonight, but it's not with you, because you're wrong.
Oh!
It's
true. I thought it was rice. Little white mice.
Wow.
Right, hang on. So the posh boy has a chance.
The posh boy can take it to a tie break.
What am I? No. It's 3-2-2.
Oh, was he right? I thought he was wrong.
No, I was right.
He was right.
Johnny was right.
Technically,
I'm wrong.
Technically, this one's worth 5,000 points. So Johnny's obviously on 5,002, and you could join him.
Right.
If you're going to the loo,
need a poo.
You've heard all the different, you know, dropping off the kids and all that kind of thing.
Dropping off the kids at the pool, yeah.
As I know you like your Shakespeare, Johnny. I always try and put one in.
Yeah.
Richard III. Richard. Richard III.
False.
It's actually true.
Yes! Oh! You're joking. You didn't know that one.
Richard III.
Oh, yeah, I'm going with a Richard. I'm going with a Richard.
Which means...
Also a Tom. A Tom...
Yes.
Just because
you
whisper it, it still goes in the mic.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? But it's not actually... It's not swearing.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
It is anyway. Yeah,
but do you know what that
means? Yeah, it means I won.
It means that you're now in the lead significantly on the leaderboard.
Three wins. Sterling.
Three wins, my friend.
Very well
the
done.
The other's languishing
on one. Suck it and see.
That was games with Laurie. That's
a good game.
Very well done. Good game. Good game.
Very
game,
good game, Laurie. Game. Can't believe you went out on a Richard.
Didn't know a Richard.
All didn't right. know. Didn't know. You're so posh.
Didn't know a Richard. We have been asking you, what are your favourite TV themes? Let's talk about some of them that we've had so far. We had Gary and Waltham Abbey. He was getting this started when Gary was talking to us about Cockney Rhyming Slam, which was that game we were saying about 15 quid as a Lionel.
Yeah, and but the best one he came up with. What was it?
£6 as an unwell octopus.
Unwell octopus.
Or a what?
6 quid. Honestly, that's the governor of the day. That
best TV theme as well. He's saying Shelley.
Shelley, which we played. Absolutely. There's a couple we haven't played, which we're going to have to play.
Alan from West London.
Yes.
He said he loves Starsky and Hutch.
Yes, we haven't played that yet.
No, we haven't. And he also said he used to hear the Tales for the Unexpected theme. I'll tell you what, we'll finish on that, because he had to go to bed at that time.
Oh, we'll finish on Tales
of the Unexpected.
Instead of you been listening,
yes.
we'll finish on Tales of the Unexpected. But I think we should... Laurie, let's have a bit of Starsky and Hutch.
If we can, absolutely.
Because it is a fantastic theme.
Well, there we go.
Shut up a bit, Laurie. Let's have it a little bit louder. Just wait for this bit. And this bit, this is the best bit. Ready? Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. It's not coming. That was a good one.
Okay, there's that one. And there's,
that was for Alan.
Very quickly, Laurie, let's... because we've got to run through them. Brushstrokes, Dixie's Midnight Runners.
Oh, yes. We had that one
that
as well.
That is a great one.
Lukey Boy did say The Professionals. We played that
earlier, Lukey.
Played that, Lukey. Oh, it is a belter, though. Absolute belter of one.
Yeah, Brushstrokes, Dixie's Midnight Runners. A great theme tune.
If they want to let us know, we were only here for 15 more minutes.
We are.
But if you do want to
not
tell
even
us...
Not even that.
No. But if you do want to tell us your favourite TV theme, you can call us on 0208 720 558. What is the tune, Laurie?
What's this?
Here we go.
Oh, Brushstrokes. You turn it up a bit. Can't hear it. Oh, it's low.
Very quiet, isn't he? It's very quiet.
Why is it so low?
Because of you.
Ah. Oh. It's obviously got a low output. That one.
Yeah. So who sang
because
that, Johnny?
Because of you, Dixie's Midnight Runners.
Dixie's Midnight Runners.
But it was a big hit as well.
It was indeed.
Yeah.
It was indeed.
Wow.
We were talking about this mountain, but we'll talk about after this. You've been listening to the Bell and Spurling Show, minus Bell.
And very much Buster Cow.
This is Love Sport.
You've been listening to Bell and Spurling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.